As we enter into this third month of the first quarter, the month of March, we are going to be looking at the gospel according to Luke. We're going to be looking at what the good doctor had to say about Jesus and the power for life. Jesus and the power for life. We're going to look at Luke's writing, and we're going to try to work our way through it without spending an entire decade on the book. Amen. Because Luke is a book in which you can simply get stuck in for a long time, because Luke writes, and his writing is rich and full of both theology, but it's practical. And we could stop at almost every little passage and section and spend time camped out there. We're going to try to make it through it without doing so. And what I want to encourage you to do is, along with the other reading that you are doing, is to begin to read through the Gospel of Luke. Chapter a day will be fine. Just start to read through it. It doesn't take long. Now, I have to admit, that first chapter is kind of long. You might look at me like, I thought you said this wasn't going to be long. It's got 80-plus verses in the first chapter alone, so it's a little bit lengthy. And then when you get to chapter 3, you know, you might say, I hope the rest of it ain't like this, because in chapter 3, he starts to spend a little time looking at some genealogy. And so, you know, that reading kind of gets a little tough, but plow your way through it because it's there for a reason. Amen. But you take in, and we're going to read, if you will read a chapter a day, we're going to be taking select passages out of the Gospel of Luke over the next few weeks. And we're just going to be speaking from those passages as we see this view that Luke, by the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, was inspired to write and record. Thinking about who Jesus is, while also looking at the power that drove Jesus. Thinking about this truth that it's in you and me. Amen. So I want to start today with Luke chapter 4 as our reading. But I'm going to go backwards a little bit as we catch up there, okay? Just to bring you up to speed and to set the foundation for your reading ahead and where we are going. So in Luke chapter 4, there are a couple of verses that I want to bring your attention to. It's a very familiar passage. And you're going to, after we read the first two verses, you're going to go ahead and in your mind, you're going to jump ahead to the rest of Luke chapter 4 because you already know the story. But in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it reads this way. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Some of your versions will say the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. He was hungry. I guess if you wouldn't eat for 40 days, you'd be hungry too, right? And of course, you know, the context of this start sets it up where Luke says he was hungry. And because he was hungry, the devil then took an opportunity to tempt him. All because he was hungry. The devil said he's weak right now, and this would be a good time to get him. And so he comes to tempt him. But what the devil didn't know is that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. What the devil didn't realize is that Jesus's power, just like your power, is not based upon what you eat your food, but it's based upon who lives inside of you. And so verse 1 said Jesus was what? Full. Wait a minute. At the end of verse 2, it says it was hungry. No, verse 1 said he was full. But he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, if you and I could just get full. If we got full, I guess, on the right thing, let me say it that way. Because I do know some people that get full, but it doesn't always yield the results that are needed, right? So let me clarify that, you know, because, you know, sound bites, people be getting sound bites. Pastor said, get full. Get full on the right thing or with the right thing. Full of the Holy Spirit. If you and I could get full of the Holy Spirit, then we would be able to do, I can say this right. We'll be able to do what Jesus did. Oh, I didn't make it up. Jesus said, I'm going back, but you're going to do greater things than what I did, because when I go back, I'm going to send a helper to you. And when I send the helper to you, the same power that I had is going to be resident in you, and you'll be able to do what I did. Oh, wait a minute. But see, remember, you must operate by faith. Because if you're not operating by faith, you can't do what Jesus did. So if you're struggling right now with the concept of me saying you'll be able to do what Jesus did, we already in trouble. If you're saying, do what Jesus did, he was Jesus. Yes, he was. But he still said, I'm going back. And because I go back, and I leave you as my representatives here on earth, you are going to be able to do the things that I did, because I am going to send you the same power that I had. In fact, that power, the promised Holy Spirit, is really, he's going to be another one just like me. And he's going to come and he's going to live in you. He's going to dwell in you, and he is going to make it such that whatever it is that God has for you to do, you're going to have the power to do it. Just in case you missed that qualifying statement, Jesus only did what God told him to do. In fact, he said to folks, I can only do what I see my Father doing. Or what my Father is telling me to do. And when I see my Father doing it and I do it successfully. And if you and I can see what the Father is doing and then we act in that, then you and I are going to be able to do what God wants us to do. We're going to be effective ministers. We're going to be effective representatives. We're going to be effective disciples for the kingdom of God, because the Spirit of God is going to be in you, giving you what you need. Amen? But if you're struggling with this whole idea of I'm going to be able to do what Jesus did, we've got to get past that. You've got to walk by faith and not by sight. You got to know who you have been called to be and forget about who you was. Ooh, that was good, wasn't it? You've got to, because if you keep remembering who you was when you were a failure, when you stumbled, when you couldn't do things right, you're going to think that that's who you are. No, you've been changed. You've been transformed. And you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And therefore, the old man has passed away. And behold, the new man, the new woman has come. And now you are not what you used to be, but you are changed. So you've got to see yourself through the lens by which he has called you and created you. And so, no, maybe you couldn't resist temptation before, but now you are a new creation with a new power, and temptation's grip on you had to let go. Amen? But you have got to apprehend this by faith. You've got to believe that it is true, just as he said it is. And in those places where your life has not yet aligned, where your thinking has not yet aligned, allow him to make adjustments. For he said he wants to renew your thinking. It's another way of saying he wants you to think right about who he is. He wants you to think right about who you are. He wants you to think right about how he has called you and what he has called you to do. He wants you to have right thinking. So he says there's a renewing of the mind that takes place when you allow the word of God to come in and you allow the spirit of God to operate, that you change the way you think. And if you change the way you think, you change the way you act. And if you change the way you act, you impact the environment and the atmosphere around you. And brothers and sisters, I want to declare to you that you and I have been given power for life. Amen. You remember in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus made a statement. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, or have it more abundantly. He makes a statement opposed to that. He says, but the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I didn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. In John chapter 17, where Jesus prays his, what we refer to as his great priestly prayer, Jesus in that great priestly prayer defines what life is. Because he says in that prayer, he says to God, Father, it is now time for you to be glorified. And then he says, now glorify me with the glory that I had before I came to this place. Glorify me. And then he says that I want them to have life. And in John chapter 17, verse number 3, Jesus declares that this is eternal life, that you and I know God. What is life? Life is to know God and to know Christ Jesus. That's what life is. So when Jesus starts to say, I have come that you may have life, he said, I've come that you might know God. And that you might know God to the full, or that you might know God more abundantly, and that you might know me, Jesus Christ. That's why I came. I came for revelation, because if you know God, then you have the difference maker in your life. Then you have a vision and a view of the one who created things, and he is the one who is the beginning, and he is the one who is the end. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. When everything else falls down, he'll still be standing. And if you know him, you can know life. So Jesus said, I came that you might have life. I came that you might know God, that you might know Christ, and that you might know him more abundantly. But you cannot know him outside of the operation of his spirit inside of you. Amen. You may know of him, But we're not talking about a know of him. We're not talking about just a knowledge of him. We're talking about a know him. The kind of know him that, you know, that song you were saying, I still got a reason to praise, and no matter what's going on in my life and in my circumstances, because I know him, I still got a reason to praise. You can't know him if you, if you're not new wine. Didn't you sing that song? Mm-hmm. That new wine where it says with new wine comes new power. That you cannot see God for who he is without his spirit being at work in you to reveal and to empower. And his spirit is personal, and he is alive, and he comes with the express purpose of glorifying Jesus and making him known to those who seek him with all their heart. To those who are willing to surrender their lives to him. To say, I belong to you. He says, therefore, I will come and take up residence with you, and I will live in you, and I will enable you to make this journey to the end. It is a power for life. Luke, as he enters into John chapter 4, which is really about the start of Jesus' earthly ministry, he starts with those words, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, and the Spirit led him into the desert or the wilderness. Not a decision that Jesus made on his own. It was a decision that the Spirit instructed him to go. And so in obedience, he goes to the desert. And while he is there, his mission was to fast and not eat. And so for 40 days, 40 nights, he had nothing to eat nor drink. And what you and I discover again is that at the end of that period of time, he was physically hungry. And in his physical hunger, the enemy comes to attack him. Let's look at this first attack because it says something very interesting. In verse number 3, it says, if, this is what the devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to turn to bread. If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to turn to bread. It is interesting that that is how the devil will come to confront Jesus when Jesus is hungry. It's just begin with this whole idea of if you are the Son of God. Where he comes and he challenges his identity. Because if you go back, what you will discover is that Jesus had recently been baptized. And it says that when he was baptized, that heaven was open. In Luke chapter 3, verses 21, 22, and 23, it says that the heavens were open and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven and it said, you are my son whom I love and I am pleased with you. The voice coming from heaven is none other than God himself. God is making a declaration to Jesus Christ, who has just been baptized, saying that you are my son with whom I am well pleased. Now, fast forward, and the devil comes to him and say, did what you hear after you was baptized, did you really hear that? Is it really true? Do you really have the faith to believe that that declaration that was made about you is true? Then he says, if you believe that, then prove it. Prove it. And I'm going to tell you how to prove it. these stones that you see, why don't you take one of them stones since you're so hungry and you are God and you know God can do anything. Remember God, he was the one who created out of nothing. He said, let there be, and it showed up. Surely you can take these rocks, these stones, and you can turn them into bread. Surely, if you God's son, if you all of that in a bag of chips, surely this won't be a problem for you. So why don't you just go ahead on, take these stones and turn them to bread? Now, Jesus had the power to turn the stones to bread. Oh, yes, he did. He did. When you're reading through Luke, you're going to see some of the things that Jesus had the power to do. He had the power to turn the stones to bread, but his daddy hadn't said to him, turn stones to bread. It was the devil trying to get him to prove that he was the son of God. And so it was the devil trying to tempt him to do something that God had not commanded him to do. And so Jesus, as he's dealing with the devil, reminds him. Let me get there and read it so that we don't mess it up. It is written, man does not live on bread alone. Jesus then responds with a word that has been implanted in him, and he talks to the devil just to say to him, I don't have to step out of my Father's will to prove anything to you. And if you and I are going to be like Jesus, we have to have the certainty of who we are and be such that we don't fall for the enemy's tricks when he comes our way, so that we don't step out of God's will trying to prove anything to anybody that God has not sent. Well, that was good to me. Because what I know is that people come and they try to test you. Here's how you hear it sometimes in the form of, I thought you was a Christian. What that got to do with what you asking me to do? You coming to borrow my money knowing that you won't pay me back, lying through your teeth, and God ain't told me to give you nothing. And now you trying to use the fact that, oh, God is love, and if you really love me, you'll help me. God ain't told me to take what he gave me to sow it into your mess. But wait a minute. You must not have been to church yesterday. You must not have been either. Because people will come and they will try to make you do stuff that God ain't told you to do. And they will cloak it and make it sound so holy and so spiritual. And you will mess around and you will allow guilt to fall up on you. And then you will fall prey to their tricks, because all they're wanting to do many times is they've been sent as a representative of the enemy. And remember, what is his objective? To steal, kill, and destroy. And your job is to be so tuned in to your daddy is that you don't make a move without him telling you it's the right thing to do. It may sound like a good thing, but is it a God thing? Amen. Amen. And so you've got to be in communication with him so that you can hear him and be able to recognize the schemes of the enemy, so that when he's bringing stuff your way, you have the power for life, the power to say no when you need to say no, and yes when God has ordained it. Because sometimes God has ordained that you take what he has given you to be a blessing in somebody else's life. Amen? Sometimes he has, but it is you who must be tuned in to the frequency of God's voice by his spirit so that you operate with what he desires in mind and not just what you want and not just what they want. And that requires that you've got to be like Jesus. Wait a minute. Go back to verse number one. Remember verse number one? Full of what? The Holy Spirit. Full of him. So much so that he was led by him. So you and I have got to be to a place of where we allow ourselves to be filled with God's Spirit so that we can be led of God's Spirit so that we walk in what God wants us to do. Amen. Very interesting question by the devil, if you are the Son of God. Partly because of what was spoken in Luke chapter 3, verses 21, 22. The Spirit, heaven, the heavens opened and the Spirit came down and rested upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove, and where a voice came from heaven saying that you are my Son. But there are some other things that add to this that makes it a very interesting and curious question that's worth kind of review. Go back with me, if you will. Remember, we're just setting a foundation for your reading through Luke. Go back to Luke chapter 1. Because in Luke chapter 1, Luke helps us understand why he has began to write this gospel narrative. In Luke chapter 1, he says, many have taken it, undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down from the first that were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. So with this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. So Luke says, I'm writing this on behalf of Theophilus. Theophilus, we believe, was someone that Luke had either led to know the truth about who Jesus was, and he was perhaps someone who had some prestige and power because he uses the term most excellent Theophilus. But whatever it was, Luke wanted Theophilus to have a working account of the revelation of the things that had unfolded. So he said, let me put together an orderly account of all the things that had transpired so that you can have certainty about what it is that you are believing. So Luke took out to write an orderly account. He performed an investigation. He went and he did some eyewitness testimony. He went and he talked to folk who were with Jesus. He went and he talked to them and he asked them questions. He wrote it down, jotted down what they revealed. And then he compiled all of this information for Theophilus. And you and I have the great privilege of having Luke's research available to us so that we too can have a certainty about what it is that we believe. In his investigation, Luke discovered that the first thing that happened when it was time for Jesus to come was that God sent an angel to an old couple, an old priest by the name of Zechariah, and to his wife, who was Elizabeth. They were old and had not been able to have children. But for some reason, they still had a reason to praise. Yeah? They were old, but somehow they kept going to church. They were old, and Zechariah had not yet retired. And one day when he was at the temple, he was doing what he had been called to do. The angel of the Lord showed up and said to Zechariah, you and your wife Elizabeth have been chosen for a special purpose. You are going to have a son in your old age. Zechariah is old. He knows that they've been trying for a long time. He knows that this thing that God is saying to him, that this angel is saying to him, is going to require a miracle. And lo and behold, it happens. In spite of his doubt, it happens. In spite of his disbelief, it happens. God sends an angel to make an announcement, and the word of God stands true. Why? Because God watches over his word to perform it. Aren't you glad? Come on, come on. Aren't you glad that God's word does not depend on you? I'm going to let that one soak for a minute. Because it's not your perfection that brings about his performance. Yes, we walk by faith, but it's not your perfection that brings about the performance of his word. He watches over his word to fulfill it. And when you ain't in line, he watches over you too. You remember what he did to Zechariah, right? He said, oh, you can't believe the word that I sent to you? I'm just going to stop you from talking for the next 9 months. Because what I said is going to happen, and I'm not going to let you mess it up. So I'm just going to shut you down. So he couldn't talk during that entire time. Then at the appointed time, his lips, his mouth is loose, his tongue is loose. He is able to talk because God fulfills his word. God sent the same angel, if you remember, to see a woman by the name of Mary. He says to Mary, you have been chosen for a special purpose. You are to give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Mary is a virgin, but she is engaged to be married to a man by the name of Joseph. Mary, too, says that if this is going to happen, it's going to be a miracle. Because I'm a virgin, and I've never been with a man, how am I going to be pregnant? Well, the angel says to her, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The Spirit of God is going to come up on you. He is going to overshadow you such that you are going to become pregnant. And so now we see the manifestation of God's Spirit coming up on Mary to bring about the miracle to fulfill what God has declared. For he said a long time ago in Isaiah that the virgin shall give birth to a child. Now God, again, watching over his word, he is going to perform it in Mary's life. And you remember Mary's words? Mary said to him, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me just as you have declared. She didn't have to go through her pregnancy with her mouth shut up. She was able to talk. She was able to go and visit her relative Elizabeth. She was able to even sing and give praise unto God because she believed what the angel had declared to her, even though it was beyond her level of comprehension. She said, if God said it, I believe it. That settles it. Which again is where you and I need to be. We don't need to be like Zechariah, amen, hearing what God has declared and yet struggling to believe it. No matter how long you've been going through what you've been going through, no matter how impossible the situation looks, you and I need to be able to believe God for what he has said. If God said it, you and I need to get to a point of, I believe it. And when you're having problems believing what God said, you've got to get to the place where you say, God, help my unbelief. Help me to get beyond this point of where I'm struggling so that I can believe what you have declared so that you can bring it to pass in my life and in my circumstance, in my experience so that God, you can be glorified. You've got to ask God to help you get beyond your unbelief. So that you're not struggling, but instead you have the power for life. The reason the devil's question to Jesus is so interesting is because Jesus was born of an earthly mother, but his father was divine. And so now you have this man who is wrapped in human flesh, who is fully God and also fully man. They could see him, touch him, feel him, interact with him. Question of, how can you, this man, be the Son of God? If you really are the Son of God, prove it. Show it. That's why I'm glad that there were witnesses along the way to the work that the Spirit of God was doing on Mary and with Jesus. There were witnesses. You remember the witnesses? First of all, there were shepherds, right? You remember the shepherds? The angels came and said to the shepherds, today in the city of David, there has been born a Savior to you. And he tells the shepherds, go and you're going to find a babe that's lying in a manger. He's wrapped in cloths. That is the Savior of all mankind. Not only when the angel announced that, there was a whole host of heaven that came and they agreed that this was indeed that promised child that came. And so the shepherds went and they saw. And when they saw, they left praising God and telling others about what they had seen. There was an earthly testimony about who Jesus was. If that wasn't enough, God had set aside a couple of folks by the name of Simeon. I know, right? Go tell them to quiet down back there. A couple of folks by the name of Simeon and one by the name of Anna. He had left them as witnesses to who Jesus was and what God was doing. Look, in Luke chapter 2, round about verse number 28, when Jesus was about 8 days old, they took him in where he was to be circumcised. And they were to offer up their purification. For their purification, something unique happened. There was an old man by the name of Simeon who was there. And it says, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and he praised God saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Simeon was an old man waiting on God. He said, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Simeon said, here I am. I've been waiting. You promised that you wouldn't bring me home, that I wouldn't die until I saw the consolation, the salvation of Israel. And here it is. I'm holding him in my hand. And now I'm free to go. Oh, this makes me want to pause for just a minute and tell those of us who are over 60. Oh, I said us. I ain't there yet. Somebody said, what? You 60? I'm on my way. That God always has a work for you. Amen. God has something that he has set aside for your hands to do. No matter how long you have to wait, your job is to stay persistent, is to keep trusting and to not throw in the towel. No matter what difficulties you're going through, just keep trusting and believing that your life has value, that your life has purpose, and that what God is going to do through you and say through you will be a blessing to others, that God will use you to raise some other folk up. So it doesn't matter your age, amen, you still have use of the Lord. He still has use of you, amen. See, because it wasn't just Simeon who was an old man who was waiting. Simeon was waiting. He was ready. He's like, you know what? It's time for me to go, Lord. What you waiting? God said, I got one more thing for you to do, Simeon. And then after you do this, I'll let you come on home. But there was another person, a woman by the name of Anna. She was actually a prophetess. In according to the word of God in verses 36 of Luke chapter 2, that she had been married for about 7 years. And then her husband died and she was a widow. She went. And she lived at the temple. And it said that she was, 84 years old. Yeah. Oh, this is a good word. This is a good word right here. Not for you young people. You young people like, well, it helps you to appreciate those who are older. Amen. It helps you to value them and to know that God is often doing something unique with them. That with the time that they have, they are getting a special blessing from God. Because what it says about Anna is that she never left the temple, and it says that day and night she was fasting and praying. See what old folk have, excuse me, don't get offended by that. Older folk have that you and I sometimes don't have is the time to spend before God in a seasoned kind of way, talking to him, fasting and praying and interceding so as to stand in the gap and to move the hand of God. Woo. That's why I be calling some of them saying, you need to be praying for me. Amen. Hey, what you doing today? I'm just sitting here. Praise God. I got something for you. Got something for you. And seasoned saints know how to pray. No, it ain't always pretty. It ain't always that King James language that you know that stuff, those these thous and every every I isn't dotted, every T isn't crossed, but they know how to pray. They know how to call on the name of the Lord with a sincere heart because they've been through some stuff. And they know that the stuff that they've been through, that they didn't make it through on their own, that it was God who brought them through. And they can reach back and they can draw upon who God revealed himself to be in that experience, that circumstance, and say that you the same God back then. You the same God now. And if you did it back then, you can do it again. They know how to draw on that with an unwavering faith and confidence that until they see God move, they're going to keep crying out unto him. And that's the way this prophetess Anna was. She was fasting and praying in the temple day and night for Israel, praying for them, praying for the things that she had learned and that were revealed to her from God. She was asking for God's favor upon the nation. And when she saw Jesus, her heart leapt with joy. She said, this is the one. This is him. She is affirming to Mary and to Joseph that the stuff that's going on in your life is bigger than you are, and God is using you to be a blessing to the nations. And what you need to be assured of is this, is that God will be with you through the journey. And she just affirmed what God was doing because she had spent time fasting and praying. So not only was there a witness from heaven with the voice of God that said, this is my son, with the Holy Spirit that came and descended upon Jesus like a dove, there were witnesses upon earth that affirmed who Jesus was and what God was doing. Because one of the titles that Jesus will have that you will see as you're reading through the Gospel of Luke is the Son of Man. Which meant that he was the one who came and he was to usher in for us the power for life. He was to show us how to do it and how it could be done. Jesus, the second Adam, was the one to come and make things right that Adam had messed up. He was the one who was to come to model how we were to live, how we were to walk in the power that you and I were to walk in. So then he was the Son of Man, so as to say, what you see me doing, you will be able to do it if you follow my pattern. Amen. So we see Jesus then, full of the Spirit, able then to stand against the enemy. So let's close with this one thought. They sang that song, get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up! They said, get up. Get up out of that grave. The grave represents death, doesn't it? And Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We often talk about death being presented in not only the succession of life where it stops, but remember, death is also the picture of you being separated from God. A man or woman who is separated from God is dead. You were once dead in your transgressions because you were separated from God. But when you put your hope, your faith, your confidence in Jesus Christ, that which was dead was made alive. And since you have been made alive, you need to get up. The one who has the power over the grave, the one who tries to hold you there, the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, you need to get up and start walking up on his head. Amen. And Jesus said, I showed you how to walk on his head. Because it was prophesied that Jesus said, that the Bible said that he would bite at Jesus' heel, but Jesus would what? Crush. Stomp. Get down. And every time he got back up, get back down, I said. I ain't ready to get out. Yes, you are. And you too have to be able to. And so you have the power for life. Jesus did it with two things in this scripture that we read, Luke chapter 4. He did it with two things. First, he was full of the Spirit. So Jesus did not try and deal with the devil in his own strength and power. He dealt with the devil in the power of the Spirit. Even though Jesus is the Son of God, he operates in the power of the Spirit. And if you ain't the Son of God, you ain't half God, half man, or fully God, fully man. You need to definitely operate in the power of the Spirit. Jesus had way more than you had, but yet he stood in the power of the Spirit. And he said, I'm showing you how to do it. Stand in the power of the Spirit. Sometimes that looks like when you're in the midst of it, you got to say, help me, Holy Ghost. For those old school, help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Sometimes you got to say that. Help me. The second thing he uses is the word. Because the word is living and active and is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts down anything that gets in the way. The word of God that we just talked about, God watches over his word and performs it. So when you proclaim it out of your mouth, God is watching over his word to act upon it. His angels respond to his word. And so you've got to use the same thing that Jesus used, full of the Spirit and his word. You and I walk in the power of the Spirit, in the fullness of who God is. When we walk in the power of his word, we are able to say to Satan, no, no, no. What you're asking of me is not what God wants of me. and I refuse to bow down and worship you, because I worship the living God. I've been called to live for him. I've been called to serve him. My life belongs to him, and I will not give you one moment of an opportunity to use me for your pleasure. And you have the power to be able to do that, because Jesus died and was raised again. And when he went back to heaven, he sent his spirit to live in those who would trust in him. And what you and I have to get to the place is say, God, fill me up with your spirit. I don't want to just be sealed by your spirit. I want to be filled with your spirit. Amen. Yeah, I want to talk like Jesus talked. I want to walk like Jesus walked. I want to act like Jesus act. And when I need to tell Satan to get behind me, no matter who he shows up in, I want to have the kind of boldness that says, get thee behind me, Satan, because you don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And your powerful life is to know God and to walk in his authority, so that you will be used to bring glory and honor to his name, and so that you will become an overcomer. Amen. That's the power that you and I have been given, and that is the power that we must walk in, full of the Spirit and full of the Word. I get one by taking the time to read this book day in and day out, moment by moment. And I'm just getting full from Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books. If your Bible got 67, throw it away. I got that from Deacon Drain. He said, throw it away. See, if yours got 67, we got a problem. He said, because we see some folk operating out of that 67th book. But you got to take time to read it. Meditate up on it. Memorize it. Hide it in your heart. And what will happen is that at the appropriate time, what you need will come forth. You don't have to search for and worry about what to do. He gonna help you. Your job is just to hide his word in your heart. You can hide his word in your heart. For those of you who are auditory listeners, learners who like to listen, go ahead and listen to the word of God. Amen. We've got all kinds of tools these days that we can use, that we can listen to the word of God. Amen. You can listen while you drive. You can listen while you walk. You can listen while you sleep. You can listen while you're eating. Listen to it if that's what gets you right in the right place. Listen, but whatever you do, get the word of God deep down in your soul. That one depends on you. The other one depends on God. Amen. Being filled with the Holy Spirit depends on God. Why? Because he is the one who is the giver. He is the pour. He is the one who is filling you up. And so then as you are reading and studying and filling yourself with his word, also be saying, God, fill me afresh and new with your spirit. No, let's practice. God, fill me fresh and new with your spirit. Let's put it all together. God, fill me fresh and new with your spirit. Just like you read his word regularly, start praying that regularly. Okay? Start praying it regularly. If you're saying in your mind, I already got this spirit and I'm already full, fix your thinking. Okay, fix it. Because if you don't have the Spirit of God fully operating in you, you won't have the power that you need for life. And what you want to do is be victorious over everything that the enemy will bring your way. And it's not just what the enemy is bringing your way. You're wanting to walk in the fullness of what God has purposed for your life. And in order for you to walk in the fullness of what God has purposed for your life, you need his spirit leading you, guiding you, and directing you. And so on a regular basis, you need to be saying, God, fill me afresh with your spirit and renew me. It's got to become your cry, your petition. You've got to search him out and saying, God, I want more of you. In other words, stop being satisfied. Amen. You haven't even tapped into. I mean, this is the inexhaustible God. And you satisfied with just a little dab? No, let's get hungry. Let's get hungry and chase hard after him. Amen. Virgil, come on, because if you don't get up, I'll mess around and keep going. The deacons are going to come and they're going to serve you so that we can partake of the Lord's table. As they're serving you, we are eating the body, symbols of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, which are reminders of the covenant that we have with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a covenant that says that you and I will have all that we need for life and for godliness. It is a covenant that says you and I will have all the power that we need to be overcomers. It is the promise that he will be with us and he is in us. It is the promise that there is no weapon that will come against you that will be victorious or overcome you, because he has already defeated death, hell, and the grave. This is the reminder that Jesus himself gave himself so that we might have life. When you and I eat of this bread, when we drink of this juice, we are being reminded, I might not be there yet, but his promise is that I will get there. And so it gives us new hope, new confidence. And we're reminded that he is with us always.